Hey, I'm back. Sorry I've been gone for so long. We're covering a couple more episodes of the Berenstain Bears. This is the week we're doing Kong for a Day. It's not that funny of a title. Welcome back to Deep in Bear Country. Say it. Welcome back to Deep in Bear Country, a Berenstain Bearcast. I'm your host, Phil Gonzalez, and this week we're taking another look at a couple of Berenstain Bear episodes from 1985. That's right, it is one of them and the other one. I don't have any real thing to say about the production behind these episodes because they are literally by the same writers who we discussed in the last episode. Now, in case you're wondering where I've been for the last 2 weeks, I took time off for the holidays, and now I'm back. That's it. That's all I'm going to go into. I'm not going to belabor the point. We're going to watch some Berenstain Bears. Are you ready? Let's go, and then we're going to talk about it. I'll see you on the other side. I'm heading to the theater right now. Here I go. So I looked it up, and this episode, the first episode, the Berenstain Bears, Kong for a Day, was turned into a chapter book. It was turned into the Berenstain Bears Scouts and the Really Big Disaster. And it is similar-ish to the episode. I vaguely remember this book. It was about Big Paul trying to get a job. Just like in the episode, he goes, tries a bunch of different things. But then he does save the town because of there's an earthquake. And he manages to save the town due to his large size. I remember talking about it. Casey Gallion was my guest in the episode. And I do remember discussing it with her how there is a tendency in the Berenstain Bears universe to determine a person's value based on their contributions to, like, what can you do as a job? If you can do something, like, you're a neighborly skunk, well, you saved us from bullies. You're worth it. Like, that kind of thing. Oh, you're the new neighbors? You make nice barbecue? We'll welcome you in. Big Paul, we can't make you fit in anywhere? Oh, you saved all of our lives? Great. You have a job. Like, there is a tendency to, like, sort of exploit the inherent talents of a person in order to say, like, whether or not they do fit into society, which feels rather un-Berenstain-y to me and obviously isn't the point of the story. But this episode sort of foregoes a lot of that by turning it more into a Weasel McGreed Raffish Ralph ripoff tale. So in this one, Big Paw is, as we've seen ever since Big Paw was introduced into the universe, Berenstain Bears meet Big Paw on, he's a musician and a singer. He's a rhymer and he's an artist. He lives up on the mountain and he's very, like, gruff and antisocial, but he plays he calls it his banjo, but it's like sort of a long piece of wood fashioned into a stringed instrument. He strums and plays it and he sings. He is a fine singer and songwriter, by the way. Like, assuming that he wrote these songs, he's good. And you hear him sing a song about how he loves to sing-a-ling, string along on his banjo. And it's fine. It is a fine song. So what happens is Weasel McGreed gets an idea to pretend to be running a talent agency. Ralph Ripoff gets the idea to convince Big Paw that Weasel McGreed is going to sign him to, like, a record contract and a national tour to exploit Big Paw as a sideshow freak. So the Cubs go to visit Big Paw and he's like, I feel lonely. I don't feel like I fit in. I don't feel like I have a place. And they're like, well, let's get you a job. So, like in the book, Big Paw goes down to Beartown. He tries to get a job pushing kids on swings and, like, helping out at construction sites, but he's too big. He's too strong and he gets in the way, or he messes things up, or he breaks things. Finally, he's approached by Raffish Ralph, who's like, this impresario, Weasel McGreed, wants to sign you into a contract. And the Cubs are like, huh, that doesn't sound like Ralph Ripoff. Now, the weird thing is, this is a swindle, but I couldn't for the life of me figure out what the swindle was, what really was going to be. Because as far as I could tell, Big Paw, who whenever he sings, everyone, like, covers their ears and is like, ah, but I think that's supposed to be because he's too loud as opposed to too bad. Because, again, his singing is fine. Plus, he's a 17-foot-tall monster who can sing and play an instrument. That's incredible, and people should love it. So I was like, it sounds like Raffish Ralph's plan is to simply represent Big Paw as his management and make money off of him. But that's like what a manager does. Like that's, if you're the talent, you have a manager who gets you gigs and stuff and takes you around the country and they get a cut of the profit, sometimes too big of a cut. But I was like, that's not really a swindle. That's showbiz, baby. That's not what it was, though. What they do is they knock Big Paul out and they tie him up and they're going to like haul him around the country as like a sideshow. Just like, look at the giant man, which is wild because as we've seen already in this episode, Big Paul, an established member of the town. People know who he is. He is very recognizable and they're going to dress him up. Or they let him choose a costume. There's a whole costume choosing sequence for like, what is he going to wear when he's playing music? That doesn't go anywhere because they're just tying him up. Now, they've established early on that Raffish Ralph lives in the swamp in his houseboat, like we know, but that there are birds that live nearby called scissor birds, whose beaks are just pairs of scissors, which is a very Walt Disney's Alice in Wonderland kind of thing to have in your Berenstain Bears cartoon, but Sister Bear, who can talk to animals, talks to her best friend, the butterfly, who then flies off and tells the scissor birds to come and set Big Paw free, which they do. Big Paw upends the train that he's riding on to get to his locations, tosses Weasel McGreed and Raffish Ralph down a mountain, and then goes back. They make him the town troubadour, so he feels more a part of the community, and every night he... plays the town to sleep, I guess. He plays the one song he knows. And again, I'm confused because it seems that if Weasel McGreed and Ralph Ripoff had simply just decided we're going to be this guy's represent, we're going to represent this guy, he's just going to be our talent, they'd have made a lot of money. Like, that sounds like a good idea. Another note, Weasel McGreed in this episode is about the size of a meerkat. Like, Raffish Ralph is normal bear size, and they've drawn Weasel McGreed in this one the size a weasel would be next to a grizzly bear. He's tiny, like a little tiny man, and I don't think they've ever really drawn the weasels that small, have they? Or have we just never seen the weasels standing next to Ralph? Or is Ralph like a much taller bear than we've been led to believe? I don't know. It really stood out that Weasel McGreed could like sit on Ralph's shoulder. He's that tiny. But yeah, so that's, and it's called Kong for a Day. I don't know why. They may mention that he's like Kong, but, and they're going to like exploit him like the guy in King Kong tried to do with King Kong. But like, it's mostly about Big Paw finding a job. It should be called Big Paw Finds a Job. So that's all I got to say. Next episode. The Berenstain Bears Blaze a Trail. This is a very popular Berenstain Bear Scouts book. It's about the cubs going to Blaze a Trail, which is what their merit badge is, the Blaze a Trail merit badge, where you have to explore unexplored terrain. They're going to go into the Forbidden Bog. They're going to go into the mysterious swamp, whatever, and they're going to go into the Grizzly Gorge or whatever. Places that have never been mapped. Dangerous wilderness. And their goal, though, is to get out of the house and into the wilderness before Papa finds out, because he'll want to go with them and screw everything up. This is another one of those stories. Teacher Jane is there in her helicopter? Question mark. Papa Bear does show up and insists on going with them, but he insists on not using maps or compasses or anything because he knows how to blaze a trail. And Teacher Jane's like, look, you do need an adult to go with you. Don't know why they didn't work this out ahead of time. Even if it is Papa Q Bear. So you know the story. You know where this is going to go. Papa tries to cross a river, but stepping on an alligator. Oh, no. The cubs are going to eat their rations. But Papa's like, I'll make my world-famous bug stew, which he puts a bunch of like garbage into, even though the handbook says to be careful what you put in your tummy. It tastes awful and smells ridiculous. And then they're going through the gorge and he yells for the cubs and all these rocks fall and almost kill him. And that's the plot. And then Teacher Jane shows up and gives everyone merit badges because the cubs did forge a new path, blaze a trail, and Papa Bear created new landmarks by damaging the ecosystem with his terrible stench, which is going to last for years, with his rock fall, which completely sealed up this gorge. And I can't remember what the other one was. Oh, yeah, he ran from the alligator through the tall grass, which blazed it, literally blazed a trail. I'm tired of this storyline. I know there's more of these coming up, and I know that they're very popular books. It's a very popular plot, but I'm tired. It did not have that Linda Wolverton zing to it. This is a Linda Wolverton script. Because there's not much you can do. I did like the Cubs trying to sneak past Papa in the beginning. I do like that it's become like they're aware of the trope. Oh, speaking of which, callback in the first episode, Weasel McGreed references the flyaway pizza. He references that episode. He says, like, you tried it with that flyaway pizza. And I was like, oh, continuity. So we know what order some of these events are supposed to happen in. These are the kind of things I noticed when I was a kid and was like, continuity. There's an order to things. And then I noticed when I first started reading the Berenstain Bears books to my kids and was like, wait, they're calling back to something that already happened. Therefore, you have to read the books in order. Therefore, one day I'm going to do a podcast. Still a pretty funny episode. 10 out of 10, no notes. No, these were two decent episodes. They're not great, but they're pretty decent. Big Paw is always delightful. I like watching him sing. I like whenever they use a song in the Saturday morning show. I like that the bears are aware that they have a monster living on a mountain, or just like a... giant musician, I guess, is what he is. He's a giant musician, man. But yeah, Kong for a day and Berenstain Bears Blaze a Trail. Kong for a day, which of course became Berenstain Bears Scouts, really big disaster, and Blaze a Trail, which is based on the Berenstain Bears Blaze a Trail, which is, I think, still available to purchase. Really big disaster. I don't think it's available in ebook, but you can look. I remember liking that one. I talked about it with Casey. So that's the episode. That's that part. You can turn it off now. Or you can listen for a few more minutes as I step up onto my Phil Gonzalez. I have no right to do this except that it's my show, Soapbox, and say. The Berenstain Bears, for the 60 plus years they've been running, have been a lot of things. They've been a series of gag books. They've been a series of primers, of readers. They've been a way to introduce children to new concepts. Both practical, like the first day of school, and emotional, like being a good neighbor or loving someone properly. You know, like those kind of things. They teach you how to be a good friend. But most importantly, they teach you how to be a good member of your community. And right now, Minneapolis is struggling with its community. It's coming at us from all sides. And things are bad and a little scary in town right now. And I know this sounds like I sound like a broken record because you're like, didn't you just go through this like 6 years ago? Kind of. But as of now, things are pretty grim. And it's a dangerous place for a lot of our friends and neighbors to be. So, I mean, I don't really have much of a point except that if you take anything away from this book series, from my show, it's that there is nothing quite as important as loving the people around you and demonstrating that love through kindness and tolerance. And I will say, making sure that the people around you, whether they are your neighbors or your friends, your family members, total strangers, feel safe in their community and in your community. And if you share space with people, that they feel safe and know they can trust you, that you be a trustworthy person who cares more about the safety and well-being of other human beings than any kind of petty grievance you may have in your life. If we learn nothing from the Berenstain Bears, is that we are all capable of being very kind people. We are all capable of doing good things for our friends and for our neighbors, and that no one deserves to be scared or terrified to live in their own home. So, that's me on my soapbox. I'm stepping down now. Hug your loved ones, get some sleep, drink lots of water, and I'll see you all next time deep in Bear Country.